I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. I met with John Krause, United States Naval retired Lieutenant Commander, at the Central Coast Veterans Memorial Museum in San Luis Obispo, California. Krause shares his incredible journey as a sailor aboard submarines and his subsequent duties as a naval officer, serving as a senior presidential communications officer at the White House under Presidents Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. On September 11, 2001, he was one of two senior officers responsible for ensuring secure and reliable communications for the president during and after the attacks. A critical role in one of our nation's most defining moments. Following his 24-year career in the Navy, today Krause still serves as a national security consultant in Washington, D.C. Come along and join Krause as he shares his incredible journey.
I'm John Krause, retired Lieutenant Commander, United States Navy. I was a submariner.
How did you wind up going in the military? What? Your ROTC?
No. I knew I wanted to get out of Wisconsin. Actually, my bride over there of 44 years was my neighbor at the time, and she was dating an Air Force guy. And I had a huge crush on her. And I thought to myself, well, let's see. Let's do some little algebraic equations here. If she likes him and he's in the military, ergo, if I go in the military, she will like me.
That's so funny.
Didn't work out that way initially, but it did eventually. But honest to God, I didn't see any opportunities in Wisconsin.
Directly in the Navy?
I went in Navy in what they called their advanced technical field. I'd done electricity and electronics all 4 years in high school. I had a big interest in that. I wanted to do something in communications. They offered a great program in submarine satellite communications.
You were enlisted?
I was enlisted initially. I did about 2 years of technical schools. I reported to my first submarine in April of 1980. That's where I met Steve David. I did that about 4 years, went to shore duty for another 3 years, made Chief Petty Officer at the end of that tour, and then I applied for an officer program called the Limited Duty Officer Program, which was a specialized officer program in every kind of discipline in the Navy, whether it's logistics, medical, communications, nuclear engineering.
Basically OCS?
I went through an OCS-like course, but then I became an officer who specialized in submarine communications. I did that from 89 to 97. In 97, I was selected to be a presidential communications officer.
What rose you to the top in that selection? How come?
Honestly, I had a friend at the White House who was in the job. He called me up one day and said, you got to come out here. So he sent me a package. I filled it out. I went and interviewed. They liked me for whatever reason, and I was selected out of that interview.
What presidents did you serve under?
I served under Bill Clinton and George W. Bush.
Fondest memories?
I've got more than we have time to talk about. Just the places I've seen around the world, kind of poignant for today. I remember specifically going to Bosnia, going to Sarajevo, and seeing the destruction, not just of the buildings and the infrastructure, but of the spirit. It really made me appreciate what we have back here. That has never left me.
Today, you are still a consultant to the government, right?
I am. So after my Navy career, I went back into government service as a senior executive, focused on national security, emergency preparedness, NSEP, that's a term. Also, continuity of operations, continuity of government. And I did that from 2004 until I retired in January of 2020. I was retired for about 2.5 years when a good friend of mine, who is currently the chief administrative officer of the House of Representatives, called me and said, hey, could you come up and maybe help us out a little? I talked to my wife and I said, they want me to come up and help out a couple days a week. She said, let me get this straight. I get you out of my hair for a couple days a week, I'm in. So for the last few years, I've been helping out with what they call business continuity and disaster recovery, BCDR, and helping them to be prepared for the bad day and make sure that they are buying the right things, developing the right processes, and exercising those processes so that they're prepared if, God forbid, there's ever another 9/11 type scenario.
Did you ever think of becoming a private consultant?
No. The only reason I'm consulting right now is because I'm doing it for a friend. And honestly, one of the unexpected pleasures is how rewarding it's been to be a mentor to some of the young folks who are aspiring to be senior executives in the government. And I was just talking to some young folks who I think go to the local college here, and I said, I am optimistic. Not many people in my generation are optimistic about the generations that follow, but I remember when I was their age, and the generations ahead of me weren't very optimistic about the future either.
What makes you optimistic for the kids today who are coming up?
Their dedication, professionalism, their knowledge, and their commitment to excellence. They look for it. They want it. They thirst for it.
A lot of us talk about World War II when all of a sudden the draft happened and these 18, 19-year-olds are piloting B-17s and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And we always go, what would the kids, how would they act and react today?
Right. You know, this is my ask of our generation. Try to be less critical. At least in front of them, pump them up. Let them know that the torch is being passed to them, whether we like it or not. And if we beat them down and we tell them their failures, they will believe what we tell them. The pastor at our church a couple weeks ago was talking about something very similar. And he said, just remember, when you're pointing at someone, you got three fingers pointing back at you. You have an opportunity to encourage them, coach them, be a cheerleader for them, and mentor them. Or you have the opportunity to run them down. It's your choice.
When you retired from the Navy, you went out lieutenant commander, is that correct?
Correct.
Do you try to loop in the Navy and go become guest speaker at different events for the young people?
The job that I did after I retired from the Navy was a sensitive job, and we needed to maintain a very low profile. And I had been asked on a number of occasions to speak, and I always turned it down because of the job I was in. Now that I'm retired, and I'm more comfortable with doing it now than I was then.
All that being said, I sense a book. Have you thought about it? I mean, you've got some great stories, great history.
Not everyone who worked at the White House feels the way I do, but many of us do, and that is we were given an incredible opportunity to serve at the highest levels of the government and to do some amazing things. We weren't put there to capitalize on it, and I won't do that. My stories are very special to me and to my family and to my colleagues. That's good enough for me.
Let's loop back for a moment of your time in the submarine.
Yeah.
Where did you patrol and
Most of that's classified. If I tell you, I have to kill you. I was mostly a Pacific sailor. I was based out of San Diego.
Not Pearl Harbor.
Not Pearl Harbor, but we went through Pearl Harbor a number of times. But Western Pacific, Indian Ocean, made a couple deployments in 1980, 1982. And then I went to shore duty on the East Coast. My second submarine was in Norfolk. I was only on that submarine for a short time because I got picked up for the commissioning program, so I was no longer able to stay on the submarine. But I was in mostly the Atlantic. I was preparing them to go do a Mediterranean tour deployment. That's really the extent. Now, after I was commissioned, and I was a submarine communications squadron communicator, I spent probably more time at sea in that job than I did on any of my submarines, because we were down to San Diego in Squadron 11, we were responsible for a couple dozen submarines, and they all were in various stages of preparing to deploy. And my main job was helping them prepare to deploy and to hone their warfighting skills. And so I spent a lot of time on those submarines in the Southern California op area.
Naive question. When you were out at sea, what percentage of the time were you submerged?
It varied. The longest of the Westpac in 82, I believe we were underwater for 87 days.
Wow.
That was the exception. I would say on average around 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Kind of weird being no windows, no view.
But, you know, submarine life is different. You work on an 18-hour day, not a 24-hour day. So you stand watch for 6 hours, and then you're off for 12 hours. So if I have the 6 to 12 watch today, I'll have the 00 to 6 watch tonight, and so on and so forth. So when you're not on watch, you're working on either your own qualification or you're helping someone else qualify, or you're doing training. You have some time to relax, maybe watch some movies, but it's a pretty busy schedule. And you don't really think about the fact that there are no windows. In fact, I used to say that I never felt safer than when we were at 400 feet because I had complete confidence in my shipmates and we were the only ones who knew where we were.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Did you like Hunt for Red October?
Loved it. In fact, I was on the staff of the submarine commander out in Norfolk when it premiered, and they had a special showing for us. And a couple years before that came out in 89, I think. And back in 86, you had Top Gun. And of course, all the Top Gun guys were puffing their chest out because of the movie. Well, now we could puff our chest out because of Hunt for Red October. So yeah, I love the movie.
Very well done.
Yeah.
All right, well, I should let you go. Before we go, any link to find out more about you, a website or whatever?
Nope. I am not on social media. I'm a private citizen most of the time. And I am an incredibly proud grandfather. That is how I identify today. I'm John Krause, retired Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy.
John, thank you so much. What an honor and a pleasure to visit with you.
You bet. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.